Lesson number 158, Surah Maryam, ayah number 41 to 65. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم. And mention in the book Ibrahim عليه السلام. Meaning, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell the story of Ibrahim عليه السلام and his father to who? To your people. And the book, Al-Kitab over here, refers to the Qur'an, and it may also refer to the surah in particular. Because remember, the word kitab is jam'r. Literally it means jam'r, to gather, to collect. So it's a collection of verses, or it's a collection of chapters. So the word kitab can apply to surah, and it can also apply to the Qur'an. So, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ Who was Ibrahim عليه السلام? إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا Indeed, he was a man of truth, and he was also a prophet of Allah. He was a Siddiq. Who is a Siddiq? Siddiq is one who is extremely truthful. One who is very, very truthful. Notice it's not Sadiq. Sadiq is who? One who speaks the truth. But Siddiq is one who is always truthful. A person who is truthful in his words, in his actions, and also in his beliefs. What does it mean by that? That a person is truthful in his beliefs, that a person is truthful in his actions, that a person is truthful in his words. That whatever he believes in, whatever he says, whatever he does, it is according to the truth. Whatever he believes, whatever he says, whatever he does, what is it according to? It's according to the truth. And also, that there is no contradiction between what he believes in his heart and what he says at his tongue and what he does in his actions. There is absolutely no contradiction. This is who Siddiq is, extremely truthful. That everything is in accordance with the truth and there is absolutely no contradiction. So it is the person who habitually speaks the truth, who never utters a lie. He is truthful in his beliefs, in his aqidah. And remember that Siddiq is the highest level after prophethood. Because what do we learn? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ So Siddiqiyya is the level after prophethood. So it's one of the highest levels of righteousness. Because it shows a person's commitment in faith. It shows a person's sincerity. It shows a person's dedication. That because he has said he believes in something, he will prove it to be true by his actions. He will remain firm upon it no matter what obstacles he faces, no matter what difficulties he has to bear. He is a man, a person of unflinching faith. He does not give up his faith. He believes with conviction. This is who Siddiq is. So Ibrahim a.s. was a Siddiq and he was also a Nabiyyan, also a prophet of Allah. Notice that Siddiqiyya is mentioned before prophethood, isn't it? Whereas what did I tell you? That Siddiqiyya, the level is after that of prophethood. So why is Siddiq mentioned first? Because every prophet of Allah, he was known for his good qualities, he was known for his good traits, even before he became a prophet, even before he received prophethood. So he was Siddiq, just as the Prophet ﷺ was also known as Sadiq and Amin even before he became a prophet. Now how is Ibrahim ﷺ Siddiq? He is described as Siddiq, but how was he Siddiq? Firstly, he was extremely truthful when it came to his iman. That his iman was according to the truth. What does it mean by that? What is the greatest truth? Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And what is the greatest lie? Shirk, that Allah has partners. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, in his belief, he was extremely truthful, that he believed in that which is truth. He believed in the oneness of Allah. very firmly, and he rejected polytheism. Secondly, Siddiq with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salam also means that he was very, very committed in his faith. When he said he was a believer, when he accepted Iman in his heart, and he pronounced it with his tongue, he showed it by his actions. No matter what difficulties he faced, he remained firm. And this is the reason why, when his people kindled a fire in order to burn him in it, what did he do? Did he give up his faith? Did he say, okay, fine, I'll worship your idols for today, leave me, spare me? No. He didn't leave his faith. He didn't give up. Similarly, when he had to leave his family, when he had to leave his father, his entire people, what did he do? Did he give up his faith over there? No. He was extremely committed to his faith. He remained firm upon it. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the commands to perform certain actions, for instance, he was commanded to slaughter his own son. Did he give up his faith over there? Did he say this is too much? No. He remained committed. To the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, that in fact you have proven your dream true. How? That you fulfilled the command that Allah gave you, no matter how difficult it was for you. So he was extremely committed when it came to faith. Thirdly, with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Siddiq also means that he was extremely truthful in his statements. When he said something, he did it. When he said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I have submitted to the Lord of the Worlds, he didn't just say that statement, and when it came to doing some action, he said, oh Allah, this is too difficult, I can't do this, or forget about it. No. When he said, yes, I have submitted, I am a Muslim, then he proved it with his actions. When he said to his father, I am going to seek forgiveness for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fulfilled that promise, and he sought forgiveness for his father from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was extremely truthful in his belief, he was very committed to his faith, and he was also very truthful when it came to his statements. Now, a person's truthfulness, a person's siddiqiyya, it is determined by the strength of his iman. The stronger a person's iman is, the more truthful he will be in his words. And the more he will hold on to the truth and he will live by it. What does it depend on? The strength of iman. That the more yaqeen a person has, the more faith he will have, the more truthful he will be in his words, the more truthful he will be in his actions, the more determined he will be, the more committed he will be. You see, declaring the truth, speaking the truth, living by it, it's not something that is easy. It's something very difficult, very challenging. When a person speaks the truth, it invites many challenges and many obstacles. How? Think about it. When a person speaks the truth, he's inviting trouble. He's inviting challenges. He's inviting many obstacles for himself. How? Think of an example. Yes. Okay, because you're saying something even though people don't like it. So when people don't like what you're saying and you're saying it anyway, they're not going to cooperate with you. They're going to create difficulties for you. For example, if you are in a situation where an exam is being taken by everybody and you know that there are people who are cheating, okay? Now, in that case, if you speak the truth when you're asked, do you know if anybody is doing something wrong? Do you know if anybody is passing their notes around? If you speak the truth, nobody's going to like you. Isn't it? None of your friends are going to like you. If you tell the in charge, if you tell the admin as to what is exactly going on amongst the students, things that may be wrong, things that may be against the rules, and if you're the person who leaked that information out to the administration, your friends are not going to like you anymore. Why? Because you are declaring the truth, and the truth is going against their desires. It's going against their comfort. Right? So, speaking the truth invites trouble. And when a person speaks lies, then what happens? immediately or for that moment, a person does gain some benefit. People will praise him. People will thank him. People will think good about him. Only for some time. But in the long run, it's not good for a person. Similarly, when a person lives by the truth, when a person holds on to the truth, he lives according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. That is what? A part of Siddiqiyah, right? But even that brings trouble. Doesn't it? It brings trouble. Sometimes it happens that a person wants to hold on to the Qur'an. He wants to practice the Qur'an. A woman wants to practice the hijab the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. She wants to continue with her studies of the Qur'an. But what happens? Those who are very close to her will detach from her. Those who are very close to her will leave her, will begin to oppose her. The other day somebody was asking me that many times it happens that when people come towards the deen, their children, they go elsewhere. Or their akhlaq, you know, it begins to suffer. Typically this difference is seen amongst people who are more religious and people who are less religious. People who are more religious, their children are not as well behaved. Typically. Why is it so? Because shaitan does not leave such a person's children. He will never leave such a person's children. So when a person is living by the truth, then what happens? There are many obstacles that come his way. Those people who are very close to him, they will turn against him. Those people who he was very close to, they will go far away from him. Things that were very easy for him to do, now they're so difficult for him to do. Think about it. You may have experienced that some time ago, it was very easy to practice Islam. But now, as time goes by, each and every single day, difficulty is increasing. Why? Because living by the truth, holding on to the truth, invites trouble. It invites a lot of difficulty. Why is it so? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the person. Does he really mean it? Is he just saying it? Is he really sincere in his heart? Or is he just showing it at his tongue? If a person is really a siddiq, he will show it at his tongue, he will do it in his actions, he will be firm in his heart. Now what is it that keeps a person going despite these difficulties? Despite these obstacles? It's his faith. It's his determination. That what I'm doing is right because Allah has told me to do this. Many times it happens that people cannot bear the loss. That my husband used to be so good with me. Since I've started studying the Quran, since I've started wearing the hijab, there he doesn't like to go out with me anymore. And he's not the same with me anymore. People might experience such difficulties. Similarly, that before I wore the hijab, before I started studying the Quran, you know, people used to call me over. I used to go have so much fun with people. Now, since I've come this way, people have left me. I feel so alone. Inshallah, we will learn in the same surah that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Allah will create love for them. Initially, a person is tested. That he feels alone. Everybody leaves him. He feels as though he is going against everyone. People are attacking him. His children are turning against him. Her own spouse is turning against her. It happens. Many people cannot bear this loss. But a person who believes that if my Lord has commanded this, there has to be khair. Right now there is difficulty. But in the long run, there has to be some goodness in it. A person who has this conviction, he will not leave. He will never stop the good. He will never stop speaking the truth. He will never stop living by the truth. But it depends on what? On his iman. And for that reason, we have to hold on to the Quran. Because if we leave it, if we distance ourselves from it, then neither are we here, nor are we there. Then we are total losers. So we have to hold on to the Quran to gain the strength of iman. And we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he suffered a lot of difficulty as well when he declared the truth, when he lived by the truth. And that difficulty is mentioned in these ayat. That how his father turned against him. His own father threatened to kill him because he declared the truth. But did he give up his faith? No, he did not. He remained firm. Why? Because he was determined. He was convinced that what he was on was the truth. What Allah had commanded him was the truth. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ When he said to his father, يَا أَبَتِي O my dear father. Notice the address, يَا أَبَتِي Yusuf a.s. addressed his father in the same way. Because يَا أَبَتِي It expresses love. It expresses respect. So يَا أَبَتِي O my dear father. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ Why do you worship? مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ That which does not listen. Why are you worshipping this idol that cannot hear any sound? وَلَا يُبْصِرُ Nor can it see. وَلَا يُغْنِي Nor can it avail عَنْكَ from you شَيْئًا anything. Why are you worshipping something that can neither hear nor can it see? وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا Nor can it suffice you from anything. Meaning, nor can it bring you any benefit or remove any harm from you. On the one side, we see that Ibrahim a.s. is addressing his father with a lot of respect. He says, Ya Abati. And in the way that he speaks to him, he's not condescending. He's not disrespectful. Rather, he questions. So on the one hand, he's extremely respectful. And on the other hand, he does not fail to speak the truth. He does not fail to speak the truth. He gives evidence, he gives proofs, and he refutes idol worship. What do we learn from this? That if the parents of a person are doing something wrong, then what is the child's responsibility? What is his obligation? What is his duty? That he must correct the parents. He must point out the error. However, it must be done with utmost respect, just as Ibrahim alayhi salam does. Ya Abati. It must be done with utmost respect. Many times there are two extremes. That, first of all, if the parents are doing something wrong, generally children will turn a blind eye to it. It's their choice, it's their decision, they're older, they know better, let them do whatever they want. Or the other extreme is that if the children do see something wrong and they want to correct that, what do? They do not respect their parents. They begin to disrespect them. They begin to yell at them. They begin to insult them. They begin to be very harsh towards them. They begin to threaten them. If you don't stop this bid'ah, I'm going to leave your house. If you don't give up this house on haram, I'm not going to live here anymore. If you don't sell this car of yours that has been bought in haram, I'm not sitting in it ever again. They become extremely disrespectful. This is not correct. A balance has to be maintained. That the wrong has to be pointed out. It cannot be ignored. And secondly, there must be respect. Because ultimately, your parents are your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, لَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Do not scold them. Do not be harsh towards them. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ Don't even say uff. So do not forget your manners, but at the same time, do not even forget what the truth is. And we see that Ibrahim a.s., how does he point out the mistake to his father? He doesn't say, oh my father, what you're doing is wrong. What does he say? He questions him to make him think, to make him realize himself. That لِمَ تَعْبُدُ How come you're worshipping this thing that can neither see, nor can it hear, nor can it benefit you? How come? Why? What's the reason? Can they really hear you? Can they really benefit you? I don't think so. It's something inanimate. So he's questioning him to make him think. In Surah Al-Anbiya, also ayah number 21, we learn, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ When he said to his father and his people, What are these statues to which you are devoted? What are these things to which you have devoted yourselves to? So he questioned them to make them think. Ya Abati. Again, he's very respectful. Oh my dear father, Inni qad ja'ani. Indeed it has come to me. What has come to me? Min al-ilmi, from knowledge. Meaning, I have received some knowledge. From who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahi, guidance. I have received some knowledge. Ma, that which, lam ya'tika, it did not come to you. Meaning, you do not know about it. You have not received it. Fattabi'ni, so follow me. Ahdika, I will guide you. I will tell you what to do. I will show the way to you. Siratan, to a path that is sawiyya, that is straight. Sawi is one that is straight, one that is proper, correct. We learned basharan sawiyya, layalin sawiyya. What does it mean when something is sound, proper, as it should be, without any defects? So, siratan sawiyya, a path that is sound, that will lead straight to the destination, that will lead to success. So what do we see over here? That Ibrahim alayhis salam, he received this knowledge and he shared it with others. He used it to guide other people. So this shows to us that if a person has been guided by Allah, if a person has been given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is his obligation to also guide the people who are around him, the people who are closest to him. And amongst the people who are closest to a person, who deserves the most right? It's the parents. The parents of a person. Because remember, regardless of how your parents have treated you, regardless of how they've raised you up, regardless of how wrong they are, at the end of the day, your mother gave birth to you. At the end of the day, your father, he bore hardship in raising you up. They have done a lot of ihsan upon you. Even if they're not Muslim, even if they commit shirk, even if they do a lot of bid'ah, no matter who they are, no matter what they do, at the end of the day, they are your parents. So it's your obligation that when you have received some knowledge, when you have received guidance, you must show it to them. You must share it with them. Sometimes it's just shyness. Out of shyness, we don't tell them. Because we don't want to boast. No, you're not boasting. You're telling them about what the truth is. Because if you really believe in it, then you will want the best for them as well. You will want that for them as well. So we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he tells his father, قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, I have come to know. Some knowledge has come to me. So follow me. I will guide you. And after the parents, it's the other people as well who deserve that we must share this knowledge with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just give knowledge to people so that they can learn a lot and they can think of themselves a lot. They can read a lot, they can research a lot, they can understand a lot. No, this is not the only objective. What is the purpose of knowledge? That a person lives by it. That a person shares it. Even if the parents are righteous, even if they're believing, even if they don't do anything wrong, it is still their right that we must share this knowledge with them. Because if learning about one sunnah has improved your salah, for instance, has improved your habits, has improved your way of life, for instance, then why don't you want the same good for your parents? If you have learned about one dhikr, one hadith, that has really opened up your mind, that has really brought benefit to you. Like, for example, recently we learned about the hadith in which that if a person seeks refuge with Allah against the hellfire three times, then the hellfire requests Allah that, oh Allah, save this person from the fire. If a person prays for Jannah three times, then Jannah requests Allah that, oh Allah, grant this person Jannah. So if you have learned about this, and because of that you have started making dua for yourself regularly, why don't you want to share this with your parents? With those who are close to you? So it's our obligation that when we learn about such things, we must share them with those who are close to us. Ya Abati, he says to his father, oh my dear father, La ta'budi shaytan, do not worship the shaytan. Oh my dear father, don't worship shaytan. Now the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Satan worshipper. Who was he? An idol worshipper. But the fact is that when a person worships any other being other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in reality, who is he worshipping? Shaitan. Because he is obeying the shaitan. And remember, worship is all about obedience. So do not worship the shaitan, because inna shaitan, indeed the shaitan, kana lirrahmani, he is ever to the most merciful. Asiya, one who is very disobedient. Shaitan is very, very disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, you don't listen to shaitan. Don't follow his footsteps. So we see that Ibrahim a.s. gives a very good evidence over here. That the reason why I'm telling you not to worship idols is because I don't want you to obey shaitan. And the thing is that if you obey shaitan, then you'll be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how he's making the connections? If you obey shaitan, then you'll be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. He has been so kind to you. He's so merciful to you. How can you disobey him? Ya abati, O my dear father, inni akhafu, indeed I fear, ayyamassaka, that it will touch you, it will seize you. What will seize you? Adabun, a punishment, min ar-Rahmani, from the most merciful. I am afraid that if you continue on this way, if you continue obeying shaitan, and you die in this state, I am afraid that the punishment is going to touch you. You're going to suffer punishment. فَتَكُونَ, then you will become, لِلشَّيْطَانِ, for the shaitan, وَلِيًّا, a companion. Who is a wali? A helper. A friend. So by wali, over here it means a helper in the sense that you will also become of those who promote the cause of shaitan. What is the cause of shaitan? To lead people astray. So I'm afraid that if you continue in this way, worshipping the idols, then you will be promoting the cause of shaitan. Shaitan was disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you obey shaitan, you will be promoting disobedience to Allah. I don't want you to be a part of a bad cause. Secondly, wali has also been understood as a companion. I am afraid that if you continue on this path, the punishment is going to touch you, and as a result, you will become a companion of shaitan. Where? In hellfire. An inmate along with shaitan. Now look at the way Ibrahim alayhi salam's politeness, his respect, it does not go away. This is the fourth time that Ya Abati is mentioned. Many times what happens? We start talking to somebody, at the beginning we're very nice, we're very good, and we say one or two things, and we don't see any positive reaction from them. What happens? We become frustrated. We see them becoming upset, we also show some anger. We see them getting a bit harsh, we also become harsh. But what do we see? That Ibrahim a.s. remains very calm. He's continuously very affectionate, very respectful. His affection only increases. He's not getting frustrated. You don't see any frustration over here. And look at the way that he's doing da'wah. That finally at the end, what does he do? He gives warning as well. That if you don't accept it, I'm afraid that the punishment is going to reach you. And notice the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentions. Which name? Ar-Rahman. This also teaches us one important lesson, which is that when we're introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, when we're telling people about who Allah is, then how should we describe Allah? With the best of His names. Obviously, all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Al-Husna. They're all excellent. But we should choose those names which give the meaning of mercy and care and affection. If you look at it, the Qur'an also begins with Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. But unfortunately, many times when we tell people about who Allah is, we tell them that He is someone who is going to throw people in hellfire. Little children even, they're afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the image that they have been presented is that if you disobey, if you do this, Allah will be angry. And when He will be angry, He will throw you in fire. He will punish you. Okay, yes, this is the truth, and you should not be afraid of the truth. However, wisdom must be used when giving da'wah. We see that he mentions Ar-Rahman again and again. Because when you show to someone that someone loves you, someone cares for you, automatically they'll be drawn towards them. Isn't it so? When you show that someone really cares for you, he's been giving you so much, he's so merciful, you turn to him, he'll forgive you. So he will be more hopeful. He will be more interested. So many times you have heard about that story in which that man who had killed 99 people, he went up to a worshipper and he asked him that, "I have committed these many murders, is there any chance of forgiveness for me?" He said no. What did he do? He killed him. Why? Because he was told there is no chance of forgiveness for you. And then he went to another person who was learned, who was knowledgeable, and he asked him, "Is there any chance of forgiveness for me?" He said yes. "Just seek forgiveness and leave this place. Go away from here. Do hijrah. Change yourself." So we see that when a person is told that yes, there is hope of mercy, there is hope of forgiveness, then a person is interested. And when you show them that you're so bad, you're so sinful, you're so wrong, you will never be forgiven, you'll be punished, then what happens? People get turned off. They're like, "Fine, I'm going to be punished anyway. Might as well enjoy right now." So we see that he mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, again and again. But there is a lot of balance in this da'wah. There is good news and there is also warning. Isn't it so? There's the mention of Ar-Rahman and then there's also warning of the punishment. Balance should be there, because many times we go to extremes. Either we tell people, "Oh yes, what you're doing is completely right, God is very merciful, you don't have to do anything, just believe, that's it." This is one extreme, this is incorrect. And the other extreme is that we make people think no matter what you do, you'll be eternally sinful, you will still be punished. This is not correct. Who can maintain this balance? A person who is siddiq. A person who is truthful. A person who does not shy away from the truth. Because sometimes we're afraid of giving warning to the people because we are too shy. We don't like the truth. So only a siddiq can maintain this balance. So he warns his father that if you continue on this way and if you die on this path, then I'm afraid that you'll be punished. We learn in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 63. تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمُ الْيَوْمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That how shaitan becomes the wali of people. That by Allah, we did certainly send messengers to nations before you, but shaitan made their deeds attractive to them. And he is the disbelievers' ally today. He is their wali today as well. And they will have a painful punishment. So a person who follows the footsteps of shaitan, he becomes his wali in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So this was the invitation of Ibrahim alayhis salam.